Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Bible study here with the Fishman Ministry. My name is Rick Utzler, and I'm introducing the ladies, both Robin and Ann, out there in Grace Ranch. I should say at Grace Ranch. They're in Texas. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fine, Rick. Hello, everyone.
I'm doing fine also. Hello, both Rick and those who have joined us.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you ladies, and I'll be here on the side. If you need me, I'll hop in and do what I got to do.
Thank you, Rick. Well, welcome, everybody. And if you joined us last week, you will know that we're about halfway through the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. And we're going to pick up on verse 13 here, but just to give a quick look back, a very quick one. If you remember, Paul addresses this letter to the saints which are at Ephesus, which are, you know, people that no longer are alive, but then also to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that's who he's talking to, and that's who, as we go down, we're going to bring that up, because this letter isn't for everybody. It's for those who fit that criteria. The other thing about the first 12 verses is that which Paul speaks when he talks about us and all isn't about you and me. It's actually about the apostles and prophets who were predestinated by God, foreknown by him to be unto salvation. The rest of us, if we will and fit that criteria of faithfulness through believing the gospel, but also believing the whole word rightly divided, coming under obedience to those, to God's line of authority who brings the rightly divided word. We cannot do this on our own. And to learn, and I put that word there because we all are in that, we ought to be in that process. It's something that we get confronted with continually. And that is, if we'll walk in humility, we then are ones in a position to be the faithful in Christ Jesus.
And you brought up the learning, and I think that's important. You and I have been in the Lord for 40 years.
That's a long time.
And I'm still learning today, and it hasn't stopped.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we stop learning, I think we're in trouble.
Well, and we're confronted with things like pride all the time. I mean, and if you want to see how it is, you can see when somebody says something to you and you get pricked. I'll use the word pissed. You get an attitude. That's pride. Humility hears, discerns, receives or rejects, responds rightly. I mean, I find myself, I sometimes find myself in a wrong place due to pride. It's always due to pride.
Yeah.
And even if it starts because of something, the end is I have to repent. So it is something, but it's whether you do or not.
Another thing I find in that, we have learned, and I believe, that the Bible is the living word of Jesus. And even though I've read it many times, I still, all of a sudden, something new will quicken to me. So you need to stay in your Bible, and you need to be faithful in Christ Jesus. And as you grow in the Lord, you will find a depth in the word that you did not see in the beginning. So that's also part of learning something new, even after many years in the Lord.
Yeah, it's not like any of us are saying, we know it all, done it all, overcome it all, but if we believe, we are pressing to do just that.
That's right.
But it does come through obedience, which requires humility. So, just to keep it in context there, with verse 13, which we did look at last week just quickly, is where it shifts from Paul talking about the apostles and prophets whom God foreknew to the seed of Adam who choose God as their Lord and Savior.
And become the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Have the opportunity, right. It's like John 3:16 that says, should not perish. It's not a guarantee for us. It is a guarantee for the predestinated. Yeah. God has an obligation to them that he does not have to us, but he does. The same Jesus that works in them unto his glory is there for us to work unto his glory. But that's a choice that we make by coming into obedience and agreement with him and all of him. And that doesn't mean just Jesus or just so-and-so. That means the whole word in its proper context and his line of authority, and also one another, because it says submit yourself one to another.
Right.
So sometimes I might say something that quickens you, and sometimes you might that quickens me, or sometimes I might say something to of correction to you and you to me, and we are to hear the word of the Lord when it comes to us, right?
Right.
And it is humbling oftentimes. But starting on verse 13.
In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
With that Holy Spirit of promise.
With that Holy Spirit of promise. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Okay. You know, it's very interesting because those who were foreknown and predestinated are saved by the same blood as those who choose Jesus Christ, choose to trust him. And I think one of the most misused verses in the Bible is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. People say it as though they do it.
Right.
And to do it requires a fight. It requires a putting off of your flesh. And it really does require humility, because your entire hope and choice, and this is a choice we make, is obedience to him because we simply believe him.
That's right.
And few do that. Few do that. That I, in my experience, in whom ye also trusted. So he's talking to a people who do that. Mm-hmm. After what? After they heard. That meant they actually heard the word of truth. They received it. They believed it. They trusted it. The gospel of your salvation. Our whole salvation is founded upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which you see down there in 14, where he talks about, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And that our there is the apostles and prophets, once again, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Christ's death on the cross purchased the elect seed of God and all who will believe in like faith, period.
Seems to me the word earnest means like a down payment.
It is a down payment. So, and that is the Holy Spirit, yes. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, you know, one of the things I have found is having a time frame, which you do also, and seeing what God, that the work of God that he has accomplished in me gives me a mighty hope to overcome that which it still lays ahead of me, and to press on because I have a testimony of what he can do. But also, you see here, if we will believe, it says here that we're sealed with it. But we can unseal ourselves.
Yes, unfortunately.
I mean, the Galatians obviously did. Mm-hmm. John 15, abiding in the vine. You're there, but you can be cut off. Now, the elect seed of God will not be. But one scripture that in reading these verses that came to my mind was in Ephesians. Philippians, where it says, this is second, Philippians 2:12, not second Philippians, there's only one Philippians. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, I know that it is available to me, that God gives me both the will and the way to do of his good pleasure. Sometimes I have to wrestle down to want to be in agreement and recognize where I'm at, put it off, and stand up in him. Even though I'm in that process, I can find myself in a different place, but I also have experience in that process and the victory that is obtained through it. But there is that part about fear and trembling, because it is not nothing I have done, nor any exercise, right exercise of faith that I have walked in, is my salvation. It's whether I stay the course.
That's right.
And but I do have a hope, and God has shown himself faithful. I know he has to you too.
Many times.
And I hope that all have had that, but they also will take it and use it to press on, not just sit back, relax, and think that means I'm God's.
I've attained it all.
Yeah, or it's, it's a finished work or whatever. Gail asked if I'd explain sealed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Truth be told, I don't know how to explain it. I know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit connects us to the Spirit of God. We are reconnected. And if we will walk in obedience to his word in its entirety, rightly divided, which is not something we can do on our own, but it comes through submission to those who have the rule over us. It's the only way it will be accomplished in us. Which means that no matter what you think, you realize when the word of God comes through somebody in authority over you, it's something to stop and look at and let the Lord show you why it was said. I know this from experience personally, but sitting under authority and also experience being in authority, those who do that prosper, those who don't. It's that simple. So Anne's looking up further, and we can get back to that, but we are not guaranteed salvation. It's if we continue on and press on and learn and grow. And another scripture that I marked in looking at this is actually Hebrews 6. And let me find that one for you. Because these kind of things are important. Because Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And Anne, I know you would agree, we have to be solid on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of his blood. But if we don't press on under perfection, we are not amongst those who would be called faithful.
Yeah, I agree.
Anne's out of her headphones right now.
I'm out of headphones right this minute.
Yeah, but you may be able to hear because of the mic. Faithful in Christ Jesus is a certain place. Like, Jesus is Lord. He has set up his kingdom in a certain manner. And if we are faithful and obedient, we come under obedience to all of it. And that is faithful, just to know his blood is sufficient and hold on to that and nothing else. You haven't pressed on unto perfection. And this whole book of Ephesians lays out God's plan for those who will, those who are the faithful, that they might be perfected and be part of that body of Christ. And Angie put up a scripture in Matthew 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So that is that part that she put up about enduring, and that's for the seed of Adam, it is a requirement. And the seed, the elect seed of God, has already accomplished that. Hence God's obligation unto salvation. Until the day we die, we can't say we've accomplished it.
Okay, seal.
Seal.
The definition of seal is to stamp with a signet or a private mark for security and preservation.
Okay, like a king would have a seal ring and hot wax on an envelope.
To attest.
Yeah. You know, the scripture Angie put up is interesting too, because it says, and you shall be hated of all men. When we're hated, without proper discernment, we might misunderstand why. And this is part of the job of the apostles and prophets for our sake. Because maybe we were a jerk and provoked a person to hate us. That isn't, they're not hating us because of Christ. They're hating us because we're jerks. Yeah, we're a jerk. But what this is talking about is somebody who will not be moved off the gospel, like Paul. Paul was hated.
Oh, definitely.
And he refused to intermix the law with the gospel. It's one or the other. He knew there was only one way, and he stuck to that.
Never left it.
So
the thing is, none of us have been hated like Paul was hated. No one's tried to kill me yet. I'm not saying they won't eventually, but right now they don't.
And certainly Paul would say the same thing about his Lord Jesus. Nobody has been hated like Jesus was hated,
right.
Nor will we really ever. But so it's like having a letter sealed.
And to preserve. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Verse 15.
Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Okay, let's stop there for a minute. So here we see that Paul is only he's heard the testimony of two things about the Ephesians. And we can also include these in the faithful, because he calls them the saints that are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. For them, they fit both criteria. For us, we can only fit one. But what did he hear? He heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and also their love unto all the saints. And that is agape love. That's the love of choice that is not moved and that actually sacrifices one own's life for the sake of another.
That's right.
Something also that we should be pressing to learn. And we learn it oftentimes by finding out we're not doing it. You know, how many times have we not said something but let something boil up? And I don't mean say something like, I disagree, or that didn't make me feel good, or I think you should have done this. But when something isn't right, instead of dealing with it, we let it fester in us. That is not love.
That's right.
And once again, this isn't to, we're not the judges of those who have the rule over us, but I know, living at Grace Ranch, we're amongst, can be amongst a large crowd, and working that out, learning how to rightly love one another is something we should be about here. It's needful, necessary, and of God. To learn what it means to love one another. So it means sometimes to say nothing. It means sometimes to say something.
Right.
And we tend to fall off on all different ways. But if we want to learn, then we will. He gives us both the will and the way to do it of His good pleasure. And that is included in the scripture about working at our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not a small, unnecessary thing. It is important. It's part of that sentence that Paul had there in Philippians. But this is, again, going back to the people he's writing to and who he is praying for is the faithful in Christ Jesus. So here is Paul's prayer for those, the faithful in Christ Jesus, in today's study.
Starting with 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power.
Okay, just stop right there, because we're going to get all the way to the end here. So here we see that he not only is praying, but he doesn't cease giving thanks and lifting them up to the Lord, making mention of them in his prayers. And his prayer is that the God of our, now this here he's including them in the our, the faithful in Christ Jesus, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it makes sense because here you see Lord Jesus Christ. That means he is the boss of what we come into agreement with. We are not. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his ways, not his thoughts. Our wisdom is nothing to God. But he's praying that the Father of glory would give unto the faithful in Christ Jesus the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So we see here that we can come to know him, know his ways. We sing that song, Will You Learn My Ways? Well, we all say yes, but will we do what it takes to have it come to pass? The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. So this isn't our natural eyes, and it's not our what we by nature think and understand. It's God's ways, and they are contrary to ours. So it comes in the face of finding out we were wrong. That's what it comes in the face of. Or I think about in, you know, the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. How many people are full of the leaven of either the Pharisees or amongst our fellowship, probably more the leaven of Herod. Mm-hmm. Because we are in a Pharisaical ministry. Not that there's not Pharisees in the ministry, but those who rule are not Pharisees.
Right.
But how much leaven of Herod do we give credence to and stuff. But God wants us to know his ways, his truth, his victory, his administration. We are to become like Jesus was.
He also, when he says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that's the understanding of him and his ways. It's
and
not
then
our ways.
Doing it.
Yeah, it's not understanding of this world or anything. It's understanding of him.
Yes. And that's well put, because really the understanding then of the world is the leaven of Herod.
Right.
But will we learn his ways? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And, you know, there was a couple of things about Jesus's, well, I'm sure there's a myriad more, but that I shall bring. When he died, he shed his blood, paid the price for our sin. That's what his death on the cross was, right? On his way to the cross, he was beaten for our healing. By his stripes, we are healed.
Right.
And then when he rose again, that is the power of God that was able to take him from hell, where he carried the sin of the whole world from the beginning to the end, that which we have not even committed, and yet hell could not hold him. The power of God raised him. And of course he went and he preached to those who were in Abraham's bosom, which was a part of hell, and they rose with him. But then he gave gifts unto men. And to the apostles, he gave all of them, and they distribute to the body severally, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe, is where it uses that word. But not you or not me have all the gifts, but we should be exercising ourselves in that which was given to us, and wherever we are, if we're in his service, whatever we need, we will have it. So if we're not a prophet, but the Lord gives us a word of prophecy, doesn't make us a prophet. It means that at that time, there was a word of God that needed to be spoken, and you were there, and he used you.
It's like with healing, that you may feel led to pray for someone to be healed, and they're healed. That doesn't mean you have the gift of healing.
Right. It actually was, I remember Davey saying one time how it can be such a destroyer of a person when they have done such a thing, prayed, and someone was healed. And then the body, in all of its lack of wisdom and being under authority, spews out, well, you have the gift of healing, so now they are set up to fail because they don't. And so it is, but you know, the truth is, if we are in him, that which is done by us or by another can all work for good.
That's right.
I remember sitting in Vermont for the years that we both lived there at your table during Bible studies or before or after, and Davey would find out somebody said such and such to someone else, which wasn't their place. And he didn't get hung up about it, because you see, if we get hung up about such a thing, it shows our that we're walking in our flesh, we're walking in judgment, we're not walking in love, and we don't have a hope in God who's able to sort that out for us. So we can run ahead of God, but if another person is in him, we also know that the Lord can bring them out of it if we have run ahead of him, so to speak. And I don't mean speaking wrongly, although, praise God, we can get that corrected too, oftentimes, in the body, or should be able to. But I remember, so if somebody said something to me, and Davey had shared something about me with somebody, but Davey was waiting until the Lord moved him to address it with me, if I believe God, then God is going to be able to address it with me right then. It might be a little more difficult. It might be a harder hit, or whatever. You know, I don't mean to explain it minutely. But if we believe God, all things work together for good. All things. That even means the things before I knew. All things. But this is a prayer that without this, we walk in a certain darkness, and then we, in that place, we actually maneuver around and make our own decisions about what is right and wrong, is really what happens. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the eyes of our understanding, they've been enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of this calling. And, you know, for me, that is twofold. First of all, the hope of his calling is a variety of things. Salvation. It is that he is well able to do that which he promised.
Right.
I have to let him by coming into agreement. But he's able. The only disabler in the equation is me, if I want to be.
Right.
Also, it is the... you know, when he goes on, and with the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, it is that Mark 16 definition of what a believer really is. Somebody who is faithful in Christ Jesus. And that is, they do the works of God. Which is 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So we confess to believe that we are the body of Christ. Being the body, we're all different parts. And we should, and the work of God, if we will submit to it, he wants to bring, he will bring his body rightly joined together, fitly joined together. It's like a jigsaw puzzle in a way where actually it all, there's no gaps. Fitly joined together, holds itself together
right.
too, because of how it is. But that is something that is also not a guarantee. You're not just a member of the body of Christ, and you're not going to just become that perfect man because you say it's true. It's if you're going to submit to the process to bring to pass your part of it, where that body walks even as Christ walked, doing the will of God. And the other thing I would say is it's not a body of anarchy, it's a body of obedience. So, and also when you go down here and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, you read this, didn't
no,
you?
No, did.
Okay, good. You
okay.
Read it now.
20.
Okay.
Which he has wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Okay. So that's the end of the chapter. So this power we're talking about is the one that he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Which, I don't know if you have anything to add to that. Because it kind of
not really. That's
about
pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. And he sat on the right hand of God in heavenly places. And the testimony of that was when Stephen, not sitting, but he saw Jesus stand when he was being stoned to death. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion.
And he's over everything.
What's that? He's over everything. And it says here, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So this is talking about this world. Christ is over everything in this world and the one that is to come. And if we be in his body, we are also over all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to walk in that place, and no longer be the weakling trodden under, which isn't that when salt has lost its saving, it's good for
yeah.
nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly where the church is today.
They've lost their saltiness.
Mm-hmm. And yet, if we believe and are faithful, this is our heritage or inheritance in Christ, but it takes us and our choice of him. And Davey spoke about that Sunday. He spoke just a short bit, but he said, you know, that choice of choosing God is one that you have to make. It is not based on feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real blessing to me to hear at that Palm Sunday, because as a woman, and also as a person, I don't mean to say men don't struggle with this too, but I know us women can be more emotional. I can look at myself at times and feel worthless. And when I choose Jesus Christ with the agape love of God, that means I won't let go. I rise above my own worthlessness, not all of a sudden becoming something I'm not, but that worthlessness dwells in my flesh, right, not in the spirit. But in that place, I can do all things in Him.
Amen.
And that's the place where I can learn that truth and walk it out. There's no other place for it to happen.
I listen, you know, and just listening to you then, and just what you've been reading, not just today, but in other days, everything concerning Jesus Christ in our walk is a choice. None of it's based on feelings. Yes, sometimes we can feel the presence of the Lord. We can physically feel it. There's one time in our lives, Davey and I actually tasted. It was like, almost like a honey. But it's a choice we made. We made a choice, then we felt something. Without the choice, we wouldn't have felt anything.
And sometimes, sorry about the phone. It should stop. Okay. I think Ann, you would agree with this. Sometimes it's easier to stand in that choice and walk it out. Sometimes it's harder.
Yes.
For various reasons. Sometimes because... sorry about that,
sorry
too.
About that.
Sometimes it's because we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Other times we have to know it's right there and to be there, even though we don't feel it.
The thing is, and if you start, I mean, the Lord blesses us sometimes with feelings that we know are from Him. Somebody once said it's a Holy Ghost bumps or something, you know. But you can't depend on those. And the minute you start depending on feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit, then you're not where you need to be.
Yeah. And I was going to say for myself, but the truth is I know this, that the only way to be strengthened constantly, so to speak, in pressing on is really through being willing to hear, to be in the presence of people who, like I know, with Davey, the anointing he has, I know from experience seeing it work on another, but I then can know it to be true because it just plain and simple is. It works a work.
Mm-hmm.
We all need a work. But you're not going to get it if you're hanging out in left field thinking it's just going to happen to you. You're going to get it because you make a choice.
That's right. Or I know people who, because they don't feel anything, won't move forward in the Lord. Or they depend on it so much, they can't do anything unless they feel something physical.
And yet a lot of our feelings are deceitful, so half if not 100% of what we're doing in those times isn't of God.
That's right. So it comes down to we have choices to make every step in our walk with Jesus. We have choices to make to follow Him. We have choices to obey His word. We have choices to obey His authority.
Which is obeying His word.
Yeah. It's choice every single step that we take in Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with feelings.
And it's nothing to do with whether you think it's right.
Mm-hmm.
I know to make the choice to not give place to what I think is a fruitful choice and to give the Lord the opportunity to show me why I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean He's like, you're wrong. I mean, I'm just a person with my ways. I've grew up in the world like everybody else did.
We're all wrong at one time or another, let's face it. And sometimes more.
Well, when we come to the Lord, is there anything right about us?
No.
So we're all wrong.
We're wrong more than we're ever right. The only right thing we do is accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and following Him.
And following Him, which is that obedience. And that scripture in Hebrews 6 to me is very important because the gospel is our foundation. But you notice it talks about the apostles and prophets built upon it. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. What are we going to do? Only hold on to Him and throw out that? This is part of that foundation, what we're reading tonight. It's based upon, I mean, our entrance and our ability to be faithful is because of what Jesus did for us. We would have no choice in the matter otherwise. But then we have to let the other things be built in us. We have to. And we don't come with it. So we have to learn it, and we find out along the way. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ways are not His ways.
Amen to that.
What we, you know, I know a big hang-up that I myself have to try to figure out sometimes, but I've seen it verbalized and walked out as though it was of God. It's this kind of kiss buddy, I'm being compassionate and don't want the other person to run away or feel bad. They're separate because of their own sin, but I'm going to go up and tell them that they're okay and they're accepted. Well, no, they got to walk in if they want to be accepted.
That's right.
And I'm pretty certain we've all done it, but it's not right. There's no justification to it. Let's learn the right thing. There's a time to put your arm around a person, and there's a time not to.
That's right.
But let the Lord show us His ways and what those times are so we can rightly minister one to another. That is the agape love that these people were walking in, that we need to be walking in. That was one of the aspects of what made them the saints in Ephesus and also the faithful in Christ Jesus.
One thing, back to the cornerstone, which is Jesus. And built on that are the apostles and prophets. And the churches out here today, a lot of them still have that cornerstone of Jesus. But they've thrown off the apostles and prophets. So there's no way they can have the mysteries of God or the wisdom of God or the understanding because they've thrown it off. They just have this block there, which is Jesus, and nothing built upon it.
The other thing I find, and, you know, when we were talking, one of the things is we have to be willing to bring things to the light. Because we so often discern ourselves wrongly in the things we do and what we feel led to do or what we feel the Lord has shown us. We need to put them before the light to find out if it is true. And if we are so set on, well, I just know that this is what the Lord said and won't hear. I remember actually the story of the woman in Harold Harbor that actually went up to Vermont and then went down to Georgia. And that vision she had that time where she was climbing the Mount of God.
Yeah.
And Davy was continuing on the straight path, and there was a hedge that came up between them, and she
went one side of it,
and she began to be in trouble and called for Davy. Said, "Nope, you know, come on back down and come join me." Her discernment of that is he was the one who was in rebellion, and she was the right one, and he told her the truth. And told her the end of that, which was her end, because she would not hear him. And he told her she was going to die. And that's what that was. It was a prophecy, a vision. But she took it in a way that glorified her and didn't hear. And I get it. I mean, I think any of us could have thought that's what it meant. But if we're not going to be willing to bring it to the light and hear what it meant... I've seen that so many times in Vermont with Steve, people that are just so full of the Lord and all this experience are the quickest to depart because they don't want any correction. They don't want any rightness. They enjoy their great experience and high-mindedness of importance in Christ. I know I'm going to James's in October, and I had this this moment of a great idea. It was just so funny. It was like, oh, wow, you know. Well, it wasn't a great idea. It sounded like a great idea, but it wasn't, so... But, oh, it had all the feelings of a great idea. And it's stuff like that, you know, just because you get those things. What are we talking about? Don't mean a dang thing unless it's right. Mm-hmm. Then if it's right, you can hold on to it and not let it go. But go find out. But that is if you're under obedience. Because Christ isn't... it's a kingdom, and it's in a state of anarchy. And what we have today is anarchy.
Yep.
And if we don't come into, or if you don't come into obedience to the word, you're an anarchist. You're doing your own thing your own way, and you're going to call it good and expect God to be in agreement with you. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah, God doesn't have to be in agreement with us. We have to be in agreement with Him.
He isn't in agreement with us unless we are in agreement
that's
with
right.
Him. It's that simple. And He will not, He's not, He doesn't change. No. So we know that's an absolute. And you know if you are in obedience to Him because you prosper in Him. You have the peace. You have the joy. You have the patience.
You're long-suffering.
You have the long-suffering. Now, that doesn't mean that you have it fully and mm-hmm. and are, never fall short of it or anything like that. But I know, like, it's not a matter of not ever feeling impatient or not ever being wanting to walk away, not ever not getting mad. But it's always what you choose, even if you have fallen short of it. You come back and choose again, and you don't justify yourself.
It's a choice.
It goes back to a choice, and I don't think we see oftentimes that we make choices. I know in many ways I haven't in the past. I do now. Sometimes I can see why I found myself where I am and where. Kind of like the starting point of choice, the downward spiral. But then I can choose again because I can say, I mean, I have a familiarity with my sin, you know. it's kind of been right there with me for decades, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to be beset by it. I don't have to be ruled by it. I don't have to give it any place. And when I do, I have an advocate. So that I can stand back up again and put it off. But it is no one else's fault, and nothing anybody else has done can be blamed for if I find myself in those places. It's that simple. I either choose to believe and stand and overcome, or I choose to go into my little self-pitying garbage and not stand and blame someone else. And that's a lie. It's a lie for everybody.
And not just self-pity. Sometimes you can fall into self-righteousness. Where you think you're better than everybody else. And you've got it more right than everybody else. And that is a trap that you have to be conscious of all the time not to fall into.
And if you're willing to, the Lord will show you when you find yourself there. Mm-hmm. I know that we go all over the place in our natural man, but in Christ, we're kept if we will be. And it kind of goes back to Gail asking about the sealed. Well, he has, what did she say? She said, so would you say that that's like marked as his, i.e. claimed? I think that comes into being when you come where he becomes your true Lord. And not that you don't find yourself in bad places, but you don't justify yourself and you want to learn his way so you overcome. If you don't, I would say no. I mean, don't think you could just claim the gospel of Jesus Christ, go do your own thing, believe your own things, judge your own way, and think God calls you acceptable.
That's right.
Now, I don't know. I'm not God, and I'm not saying that, you know, who is and isn't going to make it into heaven. Even I speak not for myself. But I do know that if you think you, okay, the Lord says enter in because you believe the gospel, but you're bringing all that judgment and high-mindedness and garbage, and you think you're going to stand there, you're in an unsafe place. It's here that he has given us a mighty opportunity to learn a way without sin. We still have sin. I mean that, but we can learn to walk in him where sin does not reside.
Doesn't control us.
But if we're going to walk in the flesh, but claim salvation, we're not his servants, we're not the faithful. And he's talking to the faithful here. So yeah, I think the faithful, there is not a guarantee, but there is a seal upon them, and they are claimed, they are noted as his. It is obvious, because you see a fruit, and you know it. I mean, not because you think it, you're anything, but just because, praise God. I mean, there's that work that you are aware of that he has done in you and through you. You can't be your own master and call him Lord.
That's right.
And judgment, high-mindedness, sticking your feet, your heels in, and not being willing to listen. Oh yeah, you're your own master. And we gotta, I'll watch people do it and know, it's like, oh, I cringe because I know I've done it, you know, I see myself. I know it's unprofitable for them, though. That's the grief. It's unprofitable for me when I do it. And that's a grief, but the grief is, it's unprofitable. But we find ourselves there. God is able to teach us, and that's the testimony we should have in us if we are his, that he has, and we can know we can press on, because that which he has begun, he will perform.
That's right.
Until the day of Jesus Christ. But if we don't choose to come into agreement with his judgments and discernments, God resists the proud. That you cut off your own connection to him, but he gives more grace to the humble. Well, there you are, the stupid idiot that should not be doing this anymore, but you know it and you don't want it, and he gives you grace, but it doesn't mean you just stay there. But we've all been a mess. But if we don't start walking in obedience because we believe, if we don't start walking in obedience because we believe in truly obedience and hearing the word through those who God has given us to bring that light and that accountability for things, don't think that you're in service to him. That's all I'll say. I won't say what your end is, because I don't know.
And that's not our judgment. That's not our call.
But it certainly isn't the way of God, and it is not to whom he is praying this prayer either. So all you have to do is repent and choose a different way. You know, God's grace is upon us, and that's a mighty thing. Let me just give an example. When I married Dave, who some of you know, it was a second marriage for 5 years, it was the wrong thing. I was in rebellion to all of the Word of God. I didn't think I was right. That's the one thing I will say. I didn't think I was just, but I found myself there. And I mentioned to Davey one time that God had pulled his grace off me, and he said, not necessarily. You see, and it was coming back in that began to break down some of the things that had closed the door on the Lord in my heart. The first one was that God loved me. That was something that I could say, but
you didn't really believe.
I didn't believe it's really that simple. And then other things. But I also know that if you resist him long enough, don't think that that saved by grace is yours. That is a dangerous place. And we have to put off the pride, because he will resist you. He doesn't want you to go to hell, but if you don't put off the pride and he stands in resistance to you, that's not what I want. I want to be the one that is humble, and I need grace. I could use, praise God for more grace, but it isn't and I'm not going to change. No, it gives me that opportunity to learn and to stand and to grow and to choose. That's what it is. And if you want to, he's going to give you the opportunity. If you don't want to, which is shown by if you're going to stand proud with your heels shoved in, what do you want? It's your choice. You don't make it. Don't blame God.
That's right.
So is his grace there if you want it? Yeah. But don't just think it's there.
I don't think you deserve it.
Yeah, it is there. Praise God. But let it have its way in you. If we don't find ourselves in that place, what fruit has it borne? It just hasn't borne any. And all of our holding on to the gospel and saying we believe is fall. It's empty. We've got to learn what it is and choose to believe. To trust God.
Amen.
All right, now I'm done.
So, good night, everyone, and thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Please keep Karen and Megan in prayer as they do traveling.
And of course,
Ben, the rest of them too.
Yes, Stephen and the family, and Corey and Margie are all traveling, and Karen is with her daughter and her family. So. Do keep them in prayer. Sansa. Amen.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.